It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware of the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to the September 6th Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And this is the first Wednesday of the month and all month. And we're going to be featuring folks experiencing extreme poverty, a.k.a. without a roof, and some folks that have actually, you know, found a way and found the means to get themselves indoors, as folks that are roofless tend to call the experience of getting off the street. And this week we are featuring, spotlighting Alex Collins, who was the cover story this past week in the Chico News in Review, titled Finding Home. If you'd like to know more about Without a Roof, Google us. Without a Roof. Come right to the top. Homepage, WOAROOF.TUMBLR.com. And we're on Facebook. Guillermo Mash, September 6th edition of the Without a Roof radio program with Joanne DeStrong calling in from Reno, California. Joanne, I've known and appreciated from a distance. She lives in Reno, California, and she also is a lover of all things Alex and Morty, and someone that Alex and Morty had spent a lot of time with when they were in Reno. Welcome to KZFR, Joanne.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We are glad to have you. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you met Alex and Morty and some of the wonderful things you experienced while she was in Reno for that short period of time, a year and a half or so ago.
Well, you connected us. You gave me her name, and then I connected with her, and she showed up here in Reno. And the first experience is she went with us to volunteer at one of the nonprofit organizations here in Reno. And I fell in love with that baby. Oh my God, she's so adorable and smiling and happy. And then Alex, right away, I was reminded of my daughters, and I was intrigued by her strength as she started in telling me her story. I guess on my from my point of view as a female, for me, it was close to hero worship. You know, this young lady can go through everything that she's been through and not give up. And for me, it was a breath of fresh air. It was a reminder that, you know, it doesn't matter what life throws at us. If you have the will and the determination, this inner strength and this fire, it breathes forth. It becomes a force in her journey, and it's evident. She volunteered with us at a nonprofit here in town on several occasions, and every single time that baby was in tow, that baby is never like a bother to her. That's her sidekick, and this is what she does, and this baby goes with her, and they're just a joy, they're a joy, they're an inspiration, and I'm so proud of what she's accomplished. She's the age of my daughter, you know, my youngest daughter, and I have so much pride and gratitude that young women are rising up and really kicking ass.
You know, I first met her in Sianna Soniki, one of the other principals in the article, talking about how she helped her. But I did this thing called Youth for Justice, Yolanda, and they had reached out to me to borrow a computer at the local Peace and Justice Center. So, and that was about a year and a half ago or so, a year and a few months. But anyway, they showed up, both of them showed up at the Peace and Justice Center, and they both had this positive kind of can-do attitude. So you probably never met Sana Saniki, but very similar. It's just like, we're going to do this thing, you know, let's look at the bright side. You know, no sense getting caught up in the negativity. But I find that people are able to do that. Not only are they happier, but they tend to have better outcomes. What would you say to that?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't matter what life throws at people like this. They find a way. They find a way to use it as a springboard for their next step. Alex clearly demonstrates that. She clearly throws in the face of, yeah, you can go feel sorry for yourself if you want to, but I am not going to be a victim, and I am not going to sit down and play poor little me. I'm going to get up and make something out of everything that's happened, turn it into good. And yeah, that's an alchemist right there. That's somebody that can spin gold out of the mess, and she's got it, and I'm proud of her. And she, in my book, she's a spokeswoman for all the young women out there going through it, because there's a lot of young women going through it right now. And
right.
So she's a spokesperson to say, look, we can get through it.
I'll just read this real fast. This really hits the high note. But shortly after her 14th birthday, Alex is probably late 20s, 26, 27. Shortly after her 14th birthday, she was kicked out of the house, and her numerous attempts to return were denied, leaving Collins to fend for herself. As terrifying as that was, she believes it ultimately was better than life at home. So I think our listeners can gravitate to that, or just think about that for a minute, that a 14-year-old woman living on the streets was a better situation than what she had at home. And these are the tough choices you need to make when you're in an abusive home, or, you know, you're dealing with things that, you know, you need to get away from.
Well, that's absolutely right. And what I would add to that is, it's so easy for us to judge what we think is wrong or what people should do differently with their life. But unless you sit down and listen to the story and understand where they're coming from, we have no concept. And that's the key, is listening to our young people and hearing their stories.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, yeah, I'm sure that Alex has crossed paths with, I'm sure a lot of people disregarded her or labeled her or deemed
right.
her unworthy, but they don't know her.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know her story. And I think it's important to get her story out there so that people say, we learn to just start listening and go, oh, wow, that all makes sense now.
Was there anything about her story in the article, any highlights in there that kind of stuck out for you in the CNR article, the front page this week?
I'm right there with you on the same of the 14-year-old being
right.
kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that I have two daughters, and at 14, I can't imagine what it would have been like them being out there. I can't wrap my head around it as a parent or as a daughter. If my parents had kicked me out at 14, I can't wrap my head around what a person has to go through to survive that.
Yeah.
Of course she did. She survived it. She's come through the fire.
Right.
Those that walked through the valley of the shadow of death, she didn't sit down and make a camp. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and look where she's at today.
Exactly.
It's beautiful. It's an inspiration, empowering.
Any closing comments, Joanda?
Joanda Strong? I just appreciate the work you're doing, and on all levels. I'm a big fan of yours, and I appreciate what you're doing in Chico, and I appreciate you highlighting Alex and continuing to support her. And shout out to Alex and all the women, young women that are going through it. We're out here rooting for you. We're praying for you. We're sending you lots of love and energy.
All right, Joanda Strong from Reno, California. Reno, California. I just changed the state. All right, Joanda Strong from Reno, Nevada. Nice talking
yeah.
with you.
Thanks, hon. Nice talking to you.
The Without a Roof Radio program is made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Barnett Wallpaper and Painting. When your home or office needs a fresh coat of paint, wallpaper removed or applied, or walls repaired and textured, it's time to call Tim Barnett. For over 25 years, Chico residents have relied on the quality, friendly service of Barnett Wallpaper and Painting. Bonded and insured with complimentary estimates available. Call or text Tim Barnett at 321-5603 and at barnettpaint.com. Gamble Mash here with the September 6th Without a Roof Radio program with Alex Collins in the studio. She was a front page cover story in this week's Chico News and Review. Hey there. Run on out there and get it. This is the last day you can grab that paper before the next edition comes out. And Morty's here in the studio, and Mom is babysitting. I love it. Welcome to the studio,
it's
Alex.
Not sitting when it's your own baby.
Well, welcome to the studio, Alex Collins.
Well, thank you, Bill.
What do our listeners need to know about Alex Collins and your wonderful little girl, Morty?
I really like Thai food, and truly likes macaroni and cheese, and it's the best way to either of our hearts.
I like it. That's simplicity. So I'm going to do a little reading here. The story is The Long Road Home, A New Mom's Struggle to Stay Off the Streets and Build a Better Life by Ken Smith. Morticia Mulberry Maxson Collins, Morty or Moo for short, is an excellent hostess. She's fond of greeting guests to the house. She shares with her mother with a beaming smile, a booming hi, and an upraised arm bent at the wrist. The gesture is her approximation of a fist bump, and she's likely to repeat the greeting several times, as it's her current favorite of the dozen or so words constituting her entire vocabulary at the age of 17 months. Morty's doting mother, Alex Collins, usually can be found just steps away and is the obvious source of her daughter's bubbly demeanor. Collins is quick-witted, world-wise beyond her 28 years, and possesses a natural charisma undiminished by her penchant for salty language and the tattoos partly covering her face. That's the first couple of paragraphs. And what do you think? Is that did nail it? I think that was
hammer on the head, dude.
Hammer on the head. What was the experience of getting, you know, this cover story written?
He came to our house and I had made dinner and made blue cheeseburgers, and he had dinner with us. I put Morty to bed and just asked me some questions in the backyard. And then he brought over a photographer friend of his that took pictures. And I think he called or asked a couple of questions while he was there that day. And then I called and told him I'd had an emotional moment on the way to school one day. Happens to me a lot lately. Where I get this overwhelming feeling of all the things that are going like I want them to, which has never happened in my life before. And I get like, you know, this that thing when your face gets wet and it makes faces you don't want it to because all the feelings you're having. It's a positive one of those things. Yeah. That thing happens on a couple different terms, and mm-hmm. that was one of the good terms.
Well, you've got a lot going on. New
a
baby.
Lot.
Give us a little bit more insight on Alex Collins,
like what?
And your life growing up. Like what? Let me just, this one, I think this is a nice little reading, but it says, shortly after her 14th birthday, she was kicked out of the house and her numerous attempts to return were denied, leaving Collins to fend for herself. As terrifying as that was, she believes it ultimately was better than life at home. Maybe you could expand on that a little.
Well, my mother, bless her. She's got a lot of substance problems, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
And my stepdad committed suicide right before I turned 14. And we think that he had some kind of terminal illness he didn't want to come to terms with and didn't want to, like, take treatment for. He left us a key in his truck. And the key opened a drawer in his tool chest, which was full of medical bills that didn't have any specific information on it other than amounts that he owed in his name. And my mom, being a person of substance, of course, or of substances, it was kind of a send her over the cliff kind of situation. And I didn't really want to live outside. Towards the later couple of years, after a couple of years, it was like I kind of enjoyed it. Because mm-hmm. I was in charge of myself.
Right.
You know? And it was better than home. My sister lived with my mom until she was at least 18. And she's still involved in my mom's life. My mom is a constant source of problems for her.
Yeah.
Whether my sister is saving her from herself. Because at one point in time, my sister had to go out and find my mom. Living in an abandoned motel and doing lots and lots of meth and was prostituting herself. Having lived with her for longer than I did, was like, oh, I need to help her. You know, took her home, helped her get clean, and then my mom just kind of mooched off of her,
mm-hmm.
took advantage of her. And that's just, there's always a new story for my mom's doing something else obnoxious that I'm glad she's not part of my life. She will never meet my child, never. She'll never be in the same room with her.
And speaking of which, Morty's right here, right here at the mic. Tell us a little bit about, I thought the best description I could come up with is street angels, you know, the different folks that have helped you along your way.
She's talking now. But there are people like Sienna, you know, and Lisa who do their, what they consider their part on a daily basis, you know.
Yeah, she wants part of the radio interview.
Say hi.
She's like got it figured out.
Hello. And there's not enough people like that, in my opinion, who not only want to be helpful, but put forth all the effort to, on a regular basis, do things to change the situation that exists in people's lives. And the people that do these things do them. It isn't like they plan it out or like it's a comfortable thing for them. People have, to me and many other folks, like, adopted us overnight. Like, we've not showered in however long.
Yeah, she's trying to mimic me. that she's better at. She's got a better mic voice than me, that's for
her
sure.
Her voice is just so soft and pretty.
Maybe we can call up Sienna. Let's Sienna wanted it. Yeah, yes. Wouldn't that be fun?
I love that woman.
All right, hold on a second. We got Sienna Soniki joining the conversation. How are you today, Sienna?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We were just having a conversation around street angels, and we figured we'd phone a friend like like that TV show. And I know you know that voice.
I do know that voice.
How much do you love these guys?
Very much.
What did you think of the article, Sienna? How it was put together?
I thought the article was really great. I think Alex did a great job at telling the story. I think it's a very brave thing to do to put yourself out there so much. Yeah. And it was a great story.
Is there anything you would want to elaborate on or some things that really stuck out for you?
You know, the most pressing thing right now in my eyes is like how... even after all of this work, how difficult it still is to find permanent housing for them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you really think about it, a parent with a child getting Cal work is getting $596 a month. And you cannot find a one-bedroom or a studio in Chico for probably less than $600, maybe $500 if you're lucky. So it really makes it near impossible for a person to find a place to live on their own. And most roommate situations are not set up for mama and baby.
Yeah.
They're mostly set up for students.
Correct.
So it makes it just really difficult.
What would you say to that, Alex?
I say that I can't agree enough with that. It's so hard to find any kind of situation where it's feasible to have my kid, where the person, you know, it's not anyone's responsibility but mine, but it's hard to find anyone who wants to live with a child. Well, I feel like it's honestly easier for people to live with my dog than it is for a baby. And as we all know, my dog's not going anywhere. So it just makes it more of a pickle to...
What's your dog's name?
...place to live. His name is Booshki. I call him Boo.
Boo.
I have my Boo, Boo and Moo. I have my Moo. They are Boo, my Ukru. And I love them.
All right. Well, thank you for all that you do, Sienna.
Oh, and by the way, thank you, Sienna, for that one time you came to Denny's and you saved my life. Remember that? Remember that? That was awesome.
I do remember that.
Well, why don't we talk
about
that?
You know, Alex, but right after that, I bawled my eyes out in the car because I remember being, you know, in that motel voucher program. And I just thought, I can't walk away from this. I can't. There's no possible way. And thank you for being such a light in our lives, Alex.
Thank you for being the person that didn't turn me away. That, you know, that first house may have been, a crap diddly on all that, but, you know, I got into a place and it was because of you.
Thank you.
No amount of work that I could have done was possibly going to get me anywhere without
this. Well, everything else is because of you. I mean, you are working your butt off to make this work, and I know it's going to, but like, Alex, like we said, when you were over the other day and you were just freaking out, being like, I will walk through hot coals. What do I need to do to get this to work? You know, this is what pulling an entire lineage of people in poverty out of poverty looks like. You know, you were raised in poverty. This is a generational thing. You know, this is a huge feat that you're trying to pull off, and this is what it looks like. It's painful. So I hope you, survive. I know you will, but we're here for you.
I remember the first time I met you both. You came into the Peace and Justice Center and the Youth for Justice program to use the computer, and it was just a really beautiful thing. Seeing how positive
her car, I think, right?
Yeah, you
yep.
did. Yeah, and there was just such positive energy from both of you, and I still see that. So, that's the thing that stuck out for me from the article. As I've said it many times, Sienna, I've noticed the people with the best outcomes are people that can stay positive. You know, grin and bear it. This young lady's pretty positive.
She is. True. That really helps.
Yeah, she's
The survival tactic. It's survival mode. You know.
Yeah.
She's blessed with a positive, enthusiastic.
Thanks for calling
in. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much. All right, have a good rest of your day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
What can you say about the comments I made about staying positive when it doesn't seem like that's even an option?
There's nothing else to do but that. If it's going downhill and you don't see a light, you don't see the next stone to step on, you have to stay positive because nothing about crying or getting mad. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can cry and still stay positive. You can be upset and stay positive, but you can't let that negative feeling that you got overwhelm you because you're just going to make it worse. You start giving that give up feeling, you start to give up and you have to not. You have to keep going.
All right, Alex Collins, let's go get this little music video done. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Bill.
Walk with me on down the road to that old liquor store where we used to meet. not step inside. Do not buy a drink, baby. You should walk along with me. You see, I don't care. I love you anywhere. No, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'd follow you anywhere. Well, you can be a pilot. I'll teach you how to fly. Stewardess, and we'll spend our days in the skies. See, I don't care. Oh, I love you anywhere. No, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I follow you anywhere. If they lock you up again and you want to wear orange every day, well, baby, I'll become a prison guard and I'll see you when the day fades away. See, I don't care. I love you anywhere. No, I don't care. I'd follow you anywhere. No, I don't care. I'd love you everywhere. No, I don't care.
All right, you just heard from Alex Collins and her 17-month-old little girl, Morty, who were spotlighted as a cover story in the August 31st edition of the Chico News and Review. We hope you enjoyed the first segment in our Faces of Poverty Month that will feature the voices and stories of people who have experienced extreme poverty, a.k.a. those without roofs. We're going to take you out with a radio edit of a Without a Roof vignette from December 2012 titled The Faces of Homelessness. You can find us homepage WOAROOF.TUMBLR.COM or Google us Without a Roof. We come right to the top. If you enjoyed this program, you can now go to KZFR.org and select tip this show. Thanks so much for listening and thanks so much for being part of People Power Radio.
Think you know what the homeless population looks and sounds like? Some say veterans are the largest group affected. They might also say it's their own fault.
In 1959, I was born in Arizona State Penitentiary on death row. 2 months after my birth, my mother was executed by the state of Arizona. My first 9 years or 9 months I spent in a prison infirmary because there wasn't any room in the state orphanage for me and there wasn't anybody to adopt me. So I came in a little rough.
I have 4 kids and 4 granddaughters. Ended up losing my house and I ended up homeless. PTSD and severe depression, and I didn't know where to turn. And it wasn't for the Veterans Administration services, I would probably be dead.
Others point to drug abusers and alcoholics as if veterans couldn't possibly be part of this group.
Buddy's House has helped me immensely. I had a drug felony back in 2006, and I'm feeling better about myself now because Buddy's House has helped me stay clean. I'm off the hard stuff.
Quite saying, I seldom see a child. They're not that affected by the...
I got pregnant really early, and I had my son at 16. And then from there, everything got a little rough, but I still survived, provided for my son. I ended up getting pregnant again with my youngest one, and from there, I became homeless.
I don't see many women. Women don't appear to be out here in any significant numbers.
Being homeless until you experience it, you really have no idea. And I come from where, you know, I've always been able to take care of myself and other people. And yeah.
And I lost my housing behind a rape. And I went into a hospital. The police did not do a rape kit. They didn't believe me and put me in a mental institution.
Homeless youth, they're almost always by choice.
I had a pretty rough childhood. My mom passed away when I was really young, and after that, I pretty much raised myself. My family was supposed to be there, but they're too busy trying to do what they gotta do.
So. How long you guys been looking for a place to stay?
I've been looking for a place to stay now since the end of August.
Everybody, you know, regardless of the situation that you're in, you know, you have to be happy. Like, there's people that's happy, you know, like, they have nothing, but they're happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, mommy, it's
hard. Heck, they're all worthless bums.
I just have a place in my heart for homeless people. I've never been homeless. I've been very blessed in my life. I don't understand it, you know, why people don't have more compassion in their hearts. But they don't. So we just try to be a light to all of them.
Well, there are people that we just throw away. And they're all over and we don't look at them.
Think again.
Our new house, we have 2 bedrooms. Me and my sister's gonna sleep in different rooms. And like, same rooms, and we have a different bed. I'm gonna put Justin Bieber, she's gonna put Dora and Princess.
No, I've been sexually abused as a child, raised in an alcoholic family.
Delivering the stuff, and your name?
My name is Jennifer, and this is awesome because our homeless people need stuff really bad right now because the weather's getting bad.
I'm a homeless veteran who doesn't abuse drugs and alcohol, who helps the society at large, each and every day. The society of poor.
I firmly believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life. 1 week of their life to live a day, a week, just to see. You know what I mean?
They'd get an appreciation.
Hopefully.
But the Lord says, love one another as I have loved you.